Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
We're going to be in Luke chapter 5 this morning. We've been working our way through the Gospel of Luke. We looked at Peter's calling and his being called to be a disciple, the great catch of fish that they had. And so we talked about some of the principles that were found in that text. And then the week after that, we looked at the man with leprosy. That was covered. It says he was just covered, but he comes to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, if you're willing to make me clean, I believe that you can heal me." And it says immediately Jesus said, I'm willing. This man was cleansed of his leprosy and he was healed. And so that was the week before last. And Pastor Bill was here last week from Glad Tidings, and they're in the process of moving back to Arizona. But I was going to have Brian Thomas fill in for me because I thought, well, I better just talk with Brian. I think a lot of you know Brian. He's filled in for us before, plays the guitar. And I said, Brian, we're planning on coming back on Saturday, but just in case if we can't, are you willing to, can you come and fill in for us? He says, yeah, I don't have any responsibility Sunday morning. I can be there. So Saturday morning, I text Brian. I said, Brian, it looks like we're just going to stay here. Things are just moving along. And it doesn't make any sense for us to come back. And he goes, well, I'm in the emergency room right now. I think I have appendicitis. And so he ended up having his appendix out Saturday afternoon. And so called Bill, and Bill was more than willing to come. So he has a good ministry. So Luke chapter 5, we're going to be starting in verse 17. And I'm going to tell the message, friends. One of the things you see within Scripture is just the networks, and these guys are going to be, from UNL, are going to be kind of doing that survey just on networking and the friendships within the church context, and even just with the funeral and the events that took place this past week, I got to observe how the church functions even in times of death and of crisis, how people come together, provide for each other's needs, whether it's food, whether it's just support, prayers. There's some great relationships within the body of Christ. And we see a situation here where friends played a huge issue. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, and I pray that you would just take the principles of your word and apply them to our heart this morning. And we give you the thanks and the praise. In your name we ask. Amen. Amen. Luke begins this in verse 17. He says, one day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. One day. We're not given a specific day when this took place. All we know is this one day. It kind of has a little bit of a story feel to it. But one day, Jesus was in a town of Galilee teaching, and he was teaching in a home. It was probably a home of a fairly wealthy person that had some space within their home, and the people were packed into this house. Okay, if you can imagine it, their living room is just all, every seat is taken, people are standing, they're all kind of crowded and packed in there. People have kind of come from all over, and not just common, ordinary people, but now you have Pharisees, and you have teachers, or the King James says doctors of the law. They were teachers of the law. They were people that were skilled in understanding and interpreting the Scriptures, okay? And we get that word doctor from, it comes from the Latin word teacher, so that's why King James translates it doctor. But they were people that were skilled in understanding the law. But they've come because all the crowds were coming, so they wanted to come and see what Jesus had to say. And some of them maybe had an open heart, others maybe had more of a critical heart and were looking for Jesus to make a misstep or a mistake. All right? Kind of like we got a new pope there in the Catholic Church, and they already caught his first stumble as he was coming off of the one. Did you see that? Boy, they just reran that. He stumbled a little bit, you know? And he's human. Okay? Just like all of us. So, but they were probably looking for Jesus to make a misstep. And so they were gathered there that day. And it says that the power of the Lord was present for Jesus to heal the sick. It's kind of interesting that Luke includes that. You would think that, well, Jesus was the Son of God. He could heal anytime he wanted to. And yet when he was in his hometown of Nazareth, he said, no miracles will be done here because of their what? Because of their lack of faith. But it says in this case that the power of the Lord was present for him to heal. And what you'll find as you go through the Gospels is that Jesus did not heal because he was the Son of God. He healed through the power of the Holy Spirit, God's anointing and his Spirit upon his life. And one of the things in Scripture is that Jesus was the God-man. He was God and he was man. And I can understand that in theory, but practical, either person is either spirit or he is human, all right? And yet Jesus was the God-man, okay? And in order for him to be human, he had to set aside some of his divine qualities, such as probably walking on water, healing the sick, and doing some of those things. Otherwise, he technically was still God. He set aside those divine qualities so that he could become like us. And so he healed just when we come to God and pray for healing through the power of the Holy Spirit, that's what Jesus did as well. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal. So verse 18. Then some of the men carrying a paralytic, a paralyzed man, on a mat, tried to get into the house to lay him before Jesus. So you have four men carrying their friend that is paralyzed. We don't know what the condition is from. All we know is that this man has had some kind of injury or health condition, that he is now paralyzed. He is not able to get from place to place on his own, but he is dependent upon others to help him. And these friends, which are really true friends, right, are willing to make their way to haul him that way. They didn't have the conveniences that we do in our day and age. And they haul him to this house where Jesus is at. Somehow they got the text message that Jesus is at such and such a place. And so they followed the crowds and they get there. But only to find out that this house is really packed out. There was no room for them to carry their friend into this house to lay him before Jesus. They had a problem. But because of the friends that they were, they didn't say, you know what, we're going to have to come back another day. Sorry, guy. They just didn't leave him laying there, all right? They said, we're going to go with plan B. So what was plan B? Is look. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went on top of the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. Now, the houses in that day and age, in that culture, many times had a set of stairs that went along the outside of the house, on the outside, that would take them up to the roof above. Okay? And so that must have been the case here. They make their way up the stairs. They get up onto the roof, and what do? They begin to open up this man's roof, right? Removing the tiles, making a hole big enough that they could put a person down through. Pretty good size hole. Just think about that if somebody came to your house and did that. All right? They make a hole, and they let above where Jesus was teaching, and they begin to lower this man down right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, notice it's not the man's faith, the paralyzed man's faith, but whose faith? The faith of his friends. He said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Imagine the commotion that was there that day. You know, here Jesus is trying to teach, and all of a sudden dust starts kind of, you know, coming down from the ceiling, and all of a sudden they start seeing some daylight coming through, and everybody begins, you know, Jesus has lost them at that point, you know. They're all looking up instead of listening to him, and they're talking and saying, what in the world's happening here? And the owner of the house is saying, get off my house. Can't do that. And all of a sudden, here comes this man down through the ceiling, right in front of Jesus. Pretty incredible. The first thing that I see in our story today is that the first principle that's in your bulletin if you want to take notes there. that most people find Jesus through a friend. This friend, this paralyzed man, probably would have not been healed. He probably would not have had his encounter with Jesus had it not been for his friends. And even talking with our friends here from UNL, they have commented on that people usually find a church home because of friends. Because of friends and relationships. And think about how you, each of you, made it to church here. And I'm looking over, a lot of you I can connect to some sort of relationship, either with myself or with other people here. You're here because of a friend. Somebody invited you. People make their way to Jesus because of relationships and because of friend. Most people find their way to Jesus through a friend. Well, let's read on. Verse 20, it says, when he saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. And this second point comes real fast here. But the second principle is that Jesus responds to genuine faith. Okay? Jesus responds to genuine faith. And what does faith look like? You ever really looked at what faith looks like? What does faith look like? What is genuine, true faith? Well, it's a belief that God can do it. And these men had a belief that God could do it because they made their way. They pushed through the crowd. They were willing to tear a person's house apart to let this man down. And what I find out about faith is it is more than just a belief, but it also has legs to it. It also has some determination to it and some action to it. These men believed that Jesus could heal their friend. They believed it so earnestly and so much that they were willing to tear apart a house and let their friend down before Jesus. They were willing to push through a crowd and to not give up because they had faith that their friend could be healed. Faith has action and how often has legs to it. There's some determination behind it. And often I find that many times we want to believe that we have faith and we want to come before God, but we don't ever want to take a risk or a chance. These men were willing to look pretty foolish, quite honestly. What if Jesus didn't heal their friend? They just opened up a guy's roof. I don't think anybody was caring about the hole in the roof after this man walked away on his own power. But if it hadn't happened, these men would have looked pretty foolish. But they were willing to put their character, their reputation, to put it all on the line because they believed that Jesus could heal their friend. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You know, if we always knew the outcome, faith would be easy, wouldn't it? Yeah. Yeah, if you knew that something was going to happen, man, we could have faith like that. But see, true faith sees the outcome before it ever takes place. It is certain of what we hope for, what we believe in. And these men demonstrated great, true faith. And they brought their friend to Jesus. Jesus responds to genuine faith. We don't know what the man's condition was caused from, if it was an accident or a health issue. Could it be because he had sinned? It's very possible. At times, Scripture says that we can have health conditions due to sin. We don't know. But it's interesting that Jesus says, friend, your sins are forgiven. Now, this made the Pharisees and the teachers of the law kind of livid. And they began to thinking to themselves, who is this fellow? Who is this Jesus who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And what they realized is that Jesus was claiming to be able to forgive sins. Only God could forgive sins. And while they saw Jesus maybe as a teacher and a prophet, they did not see him as the Son of God. He didn't have this halo over his head. He didn't have this glow, okay? He looked human. Jesus did. And they said, who is this man? He's blaspheming God. He's claiming to be God. And they became very upset and agitated at the thought that Jesus could forgive sins. And Jesus could read their hearts. And he said to them, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? Which is easier? To say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk? Which is easier? Your sins are forgiven. Why? Yeah. There's no way to really validate whether Jesus could say your sins are forgiven, but there's really no way to test that, to validate that that has actually happened. Get up your mat and walk, that's easier, that's more tangible, right? If he gets up and walks, there's evidence that it has happened and it has taken place. And what Jesus was going to show, he's going to do the harder thing and show that, you know what? Not only can I forgive sins, but I can also heal this man. I can do both. And he goes, so that you can know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins. He looked at the man and he says, get up, take your mat, and go home. And immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, went home praising God. Isn't that incredible? And it says that everyone was filled with awe. Okay, that's where we get our word awesome, right? And they responded that we have seen remarkable things today. And that word remarkable comes from the Greek word paradoxa, which we get our English word what? Paradox. Paradox. And what it means is that the teachers and these Pharisees, these teachers of the law, observed what was contrary to their expectations that day. They were expecting to see one thing and also they saw something totally different. You ever been in a movie and it just you're expecting the way it's going to go, all of a sudden something totally else happens? You go, wow, I didn't see that coming. That's what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, that's what happened to them. They did not see that coming. And here they got to be part of a great miracle that took place that day. The last principle is that Jesus can do more than you expect. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You know, we come to God many times with our prayers and our requests. And we think, man, you know, God, I hope this isn't too big for you, right? You ever done that? And I can guarantee you most, 90% of the time, your prayers aren't big enough. Because God can do more than we can even ask, think, or imagine. Especially when we pray according to his will and what he is wanting to do. And that day, his friends had some faith and they brought him before Jesus. And God did an incredible miracle. Their friend went home on his own power, but also the name of God was exalted and lifted up. And so in conclusion, most people find Jesus through a friend. We got Easter coming up. Next week we're going to have some invite cards. If you want to invite somebody for Easter. Sometimes people are a little more open to Easter, coming to church on Easter. Sometimes any Sunday is a good Sunday. Obviously you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. But I can guarantee you that most people find Jesus through a friend. Some find us through the website, okay? But a lot of people find us through a friend, especially the ones that come back. And what are the friends, the neighbors, the family in your own life that don't know Christ? Begin praying and saying, God, you know, is now the right time to invite them? You play a key role. This man would not have been healed, and he probably would not have had his sins forgiven if he hadn't had four friends determined to bring him to Jesus. And there's people in your life that probably will not find God unless you reach out to them. I can guarantee it. You at least have one, if not several. Most people find Jesus through a friend. And secondly, Jesus responds to genuine faith. And he can do more than you expect. And you may think, you know what? Many times we have faith to believe God for other things, but we need to believe God for faith in the lives of others. And I know some of you think, man, you know, I know this person needs God. I know this person needs Jesus in their life. This person needs a healing in relationships, or they have addictions in their life, or things are just really messed up. And they think, God, there's just no way, God, that you can work in their life. Right? I know you've had those thoughts, some of you. But you know what? God can do more than you expect, think, or imagine. Four men had a friend that was paralyzed, and they believed that God could do something supernatural in his life. He went away on his own power. He went away forgiven. Two good things. It was a good day. And you could help provide a good day for friend, family, and neighbor by bringing them to Jesus. And maybe that'd be Easter. Maybe it'd be some other time. It can happen in your living room or their living room where you just say, you pray and talk with them, and share your story, what God's done in your life. It doesn't have to be here. But I believe that God can raise up faith within our lives. Amen? Amen. We're going to close with a video. We normally close with our musicians. We're just going to tweak it a little bit because we're a little short-handed without Amy being here today. But if we can have Nigel get the lights or... And Chris, you ready to roll on that? All right. We're going to close with a song. It's just, we've sang it before, I Lift Up My Hands. But as we're letting this run, think of the people in your life and say, God, let faith arise within my own life. And I remember there was one person that came to Jesus and he said, Lord, increase my faith. Help me believe. And I think we need to be, don't put on a facade and say, you know, we're this person of great faith. There's oftentimes I say, God, give me the faith that I need to believe you for what you want to do.